Okay, welcome to the podcast. We have a special guest. We mentioned that we're going to have some counselors come forward, and we've got Counselor Jürgen Grau. And Jürgen, we're going to get to know a bit about you. What in the world were you thinking when you put your name forward to be a counselor? But we're going to talk about that and other items. We've got the CEO, Kevin Agoye, with us. And so, Jürgen, welcome to our podcast.
Ooh. Yeah, thank you. How are you doing? It's my first one. I've never been on a podcast.
Well, we're going to have fun with you. So, you know, you were elected a few years ago, first-time counselor. And, you know, let's learn a little bit about yourself. For those that don't know much about you, you manage the ski hill out here in Cold Lake. We're going to talk about one of the best recreation facilities in northeastern Alberta. But what got you into politics?
Well, you know what? It does seem like this 3 years ago. It seems like eons ago already. And my wife likes to tell the story about me sitting in front of City Hall, handing in my papers, ready to hand in my papers. And I'm like, okay, should I? Right to the last minute, I wasn't 100% sure. Because for me, you know, first of all, I'm not a really public person. You know, I'm not a great speaker and so on. But, you know, I did have some visions for the city. I had some things that I thought, you know, I could do better. I was really like a lot of the friends of mine when we were sitting around the fire, right? Like you kind of
drinking Pepsi, or something.
Drinking Pepsi, yeah. and maybe having our little rants and complaints and this and that, right?
You always holding the proverbial broom,
exactly, right? So you always think you can do everything better and so on. And so I have to say, you know, I had some thoughts around things I wanted to improve and so on, just like everybody else. And at the same time, you know, I am a very community-minded person, and I really did want to contribute in a way. And I thought really as a counselor that contribution was really at the top, you know, like you're able to make decisions that affect a lot of different areas in the city. And that was really important to me to maybe have a voice in that, right? Now, on a selfish note, I also looked at the opportunity as a way of for self-growth as well. Just to learn a little bit more about the inner workings of the city, a little more about politics itself and the region, and so for me and to become a better speaker and to become a little more extroverted than I am. So that, yeah. On a selfish note,
a lot of reading in this job.
There's a the first few agendas that, you know, I was looking at. There's, I think, 600 and some odd pages, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, right? The rest of the counselors around me, these. You know, you're all well seasoned. You can skim through the stuff. You've likely seen this stuff before, but I spend many evenings trying to read every single page and understand every page, right? And so it was
a chore. We get the council package on a Friday. So what is your typical routine when you have a council meeting the next Tuesday? Are you a Sunday reader? Are you do you read it all at once with your Pepsi?
So, you know, when I first got it, I mean, when I first started that first year, you know, with my Pepsi, I'd sit there and read front to back, right? And it got me out of doing chores around the house,
nice.
Right?
Oh,
right?
I'm just like, that's the best.
And
Valerie, here we go.
Yeah, Valerie, exactly. Valerie, thanks, Val. She's doing dishes. I'm sitting there, she's looking through, and I'm sorry, I can't do this. And she's like, what? And I go, well, you voted for me. I'm, yeah, you know,
exactly.
So
you encouraged me.
That's the way it was, right? So I read every page. And I have to say, after 3 years now, I've got the ability now to skim through, and you recognize a lot of things and so on, right? So for me now, Friday or Saturday, I'll just skim through the agenda and pick up on things, and then Monday I'll just dig into some of the areas that.
Are you a note taker while you're reading?
I highlight a lot. Oh, yeah, really? I do highlight a lot.
Being
yeah.
a new member of council, and I hear this sometimes from some members of council, is when you're new, you know, the inner workings is quite astounding when you step in, and all the stuff that is going on. Is there what? And it's like having a drinking from a big hydrant there, and of everything that's happening in the cities, in the walls of City Hall.
Yeah, you know what? I think people elude themselves a little bit to think that these are just simple things that happen. You know, as a resident, or maybe even you tend to want to focus on just one thing, but you don't realize how many things are going on and how complex a lot of these things are and how interrelated they are. And the city is a very complicated, complex thing. It's again, you know, we're going to talk about encroachment later. It's complicated. There's just so many moving parts to these things. And I have to say, like, I really, from when you, this council and this administration always looks at the big picture of everything and how all this stuff relates. And they always really, really try to do the right thing for as many people as possible.
Yeah, big brush.
Big brush, right? And, you know, I never saw that. And you're asking me why I ran for council. At that time, you know, you always had questions around that, right? And, you know, you're pointing at one thing and you're going, but you don't realize there's so many other elements to this. And
there's a lot of balls in the air.
Exactly.
And
right?
Then, in the beginning, when you're elected, you go into like a training thing with the city for about a month or two. And yep. That's pretty enormous. And I think we jumped right into budget when you got elected. And now, of course, that first fall or whatever you want to call it, it's a lot for the first-time councillors. There's a lot. You're going right into that budget process after just learning the whole ins and outs of the city.
Right. And, you know, for me, as everybody knows, I manage the ski hill. I live in the municipal world, and I have my budget. And going into it, I thought, you know what? I know this stuff inside out. I'm not going to have a problem. Yeah, no, that's not the truth. It's a pretty complicated piece of document there. And
because you're peeling the onion to understand what these numbers are, besides salaries, what's involved. And then we get into the capital side of things. And then, unfortunate for the new councillors, that whole ID 349 was sort of has been, you know, a moving target, and where you weren't really fortunate, where, you know, from about 2013, I guess it would be, to about 2017, pretty dedicated, knowing that there was direction going forward. Unfortunately for yourself, you've been kind of missing this opportunity for as a counselor to vision out the community for the next 10 years.
Right. And you know what, it creates new opportunity because it forces you to maybe look at things differently and so on. So, you know, for me, yes, I would have liked to have seen more projects and so on, right? Because it's exciting. Yeah. But at the same time now, you know, we've had some real difficult decisions mm-hmm. to make, and it really forced us as a council to get together with the, you know, and come up with really good decisions. So that in the same way is rewarding as well.
Before we get into too much with the city, a lot of people don't know that you and your wife were really involved in the music scene in Cold Lake back before you probably even talked about politics, before you probably sat around a fire. I mean, let's talk about some of that big event that you did many years ago in Cold Lake.
Right. You know, so Valerie, myself, and in many cases, the Cold Lake Entertainment Society, or Rock Slide, as it used to be called, and so on. Over the years, like, we were sitting down the other night and talking about how many bands we've brought through the area, and it exceeds 150 bands. Ooh. Right? And a lot of people don't know that. There's been a lot of music that we brought through there. And then later on, you know, when we sat down with Greg Walsh from the Energy Center, and that led to, you know, the city running with that ball and so on, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There was something that wasn't here before. So the event that you're talking about is the Border Bash.
Yeah.
And
it was huge,
right? And so, you know, air show in the community. And at that time when we got here, we didn't see anything happening around the air show. And we just felt that it was, you know, music festival.
It was a really hot weekend, wasn't it?
So we were out in a field just outside the gate.
Yeah.
And for 3 days, it was just rain and rain and rain. We're sitting in our trailer out on the site, and our lawn, we're looking out the window, and our lawn chair was floating across the ground. And we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Disaster,
right? We pull in the big stage, it gets stuck in the mud, right? And we're like, oh, disaster, right? But then it got so hot,
yeah,
right? It was like 36 degrees, yeah. and it just dried the place out. And ended up being a huge success. The stage had sort of bleachers off to the side, and I pulled Valerie and Todd Paul. I said, "Come on up here." And we sat at the top of the bleachers as cars were coming into the campsite, and you could see lights all the way down the highway. Right, it was a real Field of Dreams kind of a moment. Yeah. Right,
what,
it was pretty
was
cool.
That was
2004.
Yeah, Todd Posey. Yeah, there's
Todd
a name
Posey,
from the past.
Right?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and. And so, you know, at that time, the municipality was instrumental. It was a fundraiser for the ski hill.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we thought, well, you know, we were looking at summer operation, but we took a totally different look at what we wanted to do during the summer. Right now, we're looking at adventure parks and stuff like that. At that time, we're thinking, you know, the summer operation could be a music festival. And we really wanted to use that as a stepping stone to continue on.
No, it was a great event, and it was great with the air show. It was, you know, we haven't really duplicated that ever since. But yeah, kudos to you guys. You had such a great volunteer base. And then, of course, you moved when the field house got built. You moved your operations in there. I remember a lot of beer fests in there, and you guys selling your beers out of that big tub, and just giving her
lobster
and
bashes.
A lot of lobster bashes. It was so much fun.
We're sitting in our kitchen and we're going, okay, what are we going to do next? We want to do something totally unique, right? And at that time, because of the East Coast persuasion in our region, we said, why don't we do something Celtic, right? And then we, you know, brainstorming, and it turns into a lobster bash. Okay, cool, right? And I don't eat lobster. I've never cooked a lobster. And now we're trying to come up with a plan to basically cook 600 to 700 lobster at once. And so Al Luger from Dunright comes up with this huge cooker that used to be it's based on a tar boiler.
Oh my God.
So he's not using a tar boiler to cook lobster, but it's kind of based on that, right?
Al would figure something out.
Right. Like and Al's awesome. And he put this thing together, and we were able to, I can't remember what it was, 125 at a time. 125 lobster at a time. We flew them in from the East Coast. JJ Gray was involved. Yeah, it was a huge community event, right? And sold it out, right?
What were some of the bands on those? Trying to remember through the October.
Well, you know, they're mostly the Irish Descendants and Shandy Gannock. Yeah, and then one year we wanted to stray away from Celtic, and I said, well, bring in Dr. Hook. Let's go classic rock.
Well, that was huge.
It was unbelievable. Like, and the whole place partied. It was a great event. But after that, like some things, they kind of travel their journey and there wasn't as much. So after that, we were looking for new things. And
I think after COVID, I think that's going to be a real renaissance. I think that's all going to come back. I think people want to get out of their house. They want to party with their friends. And I think we've got some great venues, the Ag Society. We've got a great venue, and the city's got some venues. I can see this coming back with full force.
The mayor wants to put on a big bash.
Well, I just think it's going to happen everywhere. Bash. It's going to happen everywhere. I think the bands themselves need to raise some money. Can you imagine with this COVID, the entertainment people must be just devastated, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the agencies. But even more important, there's so many artists in Canada right now that are self-employed. And they're literally self-employed, right? And they're hurting. A lot of artists in Canada are hurting because there's nowhere to play.
Some artists are doing these drive-in venues, right? And still trying to keep some business going across Canada.
This COVID, if it accomplishes anything, it kind of spawns a bit of creativity and so on, and thinking outside the box. And so you see a lot of artists now that are on YouTube and they're doing that thing, you know, and through social media. I've an artist that we know, a friend of ours, she's going into cul-de-sacs in the community and just plays in the cul-de-sac. Everybody sits in their yard, right? She's a jazz singer. And then drive-ins and so on. So, I mean, there's ways of doing this, but it's not to the masses, right? And for me personally, summer for me is about that one music festival, right? It could be Edmonton Folk Music Festival or whatever it is. And I'm certainly missing that this summer. And I think you're right, absolutely.
Your events that you guys put on under the different names, the personas that you're involved with, the things I liked about it was very simple. It was like a beer fest type of an event. And I think, you know, that's going to be where we're going to, as a city, if we're going to host them, because as you know, there's a lot of money behind having a concert. There's, you know, just having the ability to take a loss financially. Right. And so if the city's going to have to spearhead it or do partnerships with various groups, but I got a feeling people are going to let their, you know, hair down once all of COVID runs its course.
Yeah. Well, COVID, kids are going back to school.
Yeah, kids are coming back. We're excited about that. The parents probably more so. And, it looks like maybe 20, 30% of the parents are going to keep their little ones or their, you know, the great high school kids home and do it from the house from the beginning. I think people are going to sort of watch how it all unfolds. But, you know, in our area, we've got zero cases. And
we're
so
doing well.
We know the people are doing social distancing as best they can.
Yeah, when you look at the busy places like the beach this summer, I think it worked. very well. You know, some of the areas were a little busy, but you know, I think overall, I didn't see anything that was alarming myself. But it's worked out quite well.
Yeah, the people that like to talk in your face, they're not around anymore. So I mean, it's a whole different thing.
Moistly talking.
But I mean, it sounds like some of the retail are going to change their policies, and people are going to have to wear masks.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
I think there's a few areas that have already implemented, such as I think Walmart, No Frills, I think. Has,
I mean, when you go to Edmonton and Calgary now, I mean, people are wearing their masks and all that. So,
well, Edmonton, Calgary have a public places mandatory bylaws. I think Lethbridge did one as well. But right now, Cold Lake hasn't, you know, right now we have no cases. And I think right now we've left that alone. We're kind of following the chief medical officer's health recommendations right now. And we're leaving it at that. We're not putting any further restrictions on at this point. So unless, you know, council has further discussions on it, that's kind of where we sit.
Well, let's talk about where you work. I mean, that, you know, we've always said on council that the Ski Hill is amazing facilities. I mean, my girls loved going out snowboarding. My youngest daughter was just all about the jumps that you guys made out there, and then she always said that you know, she's snowboarded across North America, and she always said that Kinisu was by far one of the best places that she's ever snowboarded. You know, back in the day, I mean, she was one of these crazy kids that wanted to go through trees, but. I mean, that facility is amazing with the chalet and now adventure park.
Right. So we're going to be building that adventure park, hopefully open for the May long weekend of next year.
Wow.
And we should see us breaking ground. Like, we're right in the middle. We're going to be beginning the design phase here right away. And that'll take a few weeks, but you know, I'm pretty confident that we're going to be able to get the trees cleared and at least the foundation done this year. And then that's a matter of in the spring putting up the structure. So it's pretty exciting, right? I mean, that when we built that chalet, or when the municipality built that chalet, almost, it's 10 years old now, right? So it seems like yesterday, but 10 years ago, they're really, wow. It was really built on the premise that we're going to do this year-round operation. And when you look at the chalet, you can very easily see that's what it was meant for, right?
Place.
It's beautiful, right? And so, but now we're finally there. And so, you know, the adventure park is the first piece of that. We're going to continue master planning around some of the other things that we're planning on or looking for, you know, things like, and this is just possibly, there's just concepts right now, but, you know, the boat mooring area in French Bay, possibly, you know, I'm pretty sure that the MD would like to see the campsite as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a big cornerstone for a business plan around it. Mini golf, walking trails, and then, you know, an amphitheater, right? And
was it creating. George Canyon was out there, and he said that the... wasn't it George Canyon?
It was George Canyon on one of the ag tours.
Yeah, referred to the amazing facility.
Yeah, he's playing on stage and he comes and he says, this place would be awesome for a festival, right? Because he's looking up the Bunny Hill and it just seems, you know, are we ever going to be able to fit 10,000 people in there? Probably not. But honestly, to, you know, a festival, 2,000 to 3,000 people.
We had the fireworks there just this last year.
You guys did an awesome job.
Yeah, that
the city
out
did
well.
An awesome job. Now, I gotta be honest. Like, we got a lot of pats on the back, you know, about the fireworks. Yeah. And we've even had said, you know, the fireworks at Kinisu Ridge were better than what the city puts
Ooh.
On.
Oh.
But what everybody needs to know is actually it was the city that put them on for us, right? It was the same guys, right? So, I mean, kudos to those guys. Like, they did a fantastic job and I really enjoyed them. And the creativity that's starting to come out of that crew that's putting on fireworks is amazing.
Yeah, everybody likes their fireworks out here. I mean, Cold Lake First Nations, the city, the MD, but it's the people behind the scenes that are putting on the show. They deserve all the credit. They've just jumped on board and done. I mean, you look at the way the fireworks over the last 10 years have evolved. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, we're looking at options maybe down by Kinisu Beach. You know, can we do that? And I think next weekend there's going to be some fireworks going off
September,
on the
5th. What was it?
5th of September.
5th? Yeah. About 10 o'clock.
We did it in the winter time.
It's going to be at the Energy Center. like in behind in that area. So anybody can come out. We're not holding an event. It's just we're going to have fireworks go off, and it'll be one of those that anybody can attend. And when you're shooting it off back there, you can probably see it from a lot of areas around Cold Lake.
You know what I think a good spot would be is up at the museum. I'm just saying, for anybody that's looking for a good location, if you went up to that top of that hill.
Yeah, we looked already at that.
No, to see the fireworks.
Oh, to see the fireworks. Oh, okay. I thought you
not to light them
light
off.
Light them off, yeah. Right. A lot of fuel up there, right?
So I'm just now, I'm going to, just to put the ski hill hat back on just slightly. So we've infiltrated your fireworks team, right? I've sent one of my guys to train to assist with your team here at the city.
Are we training the our neighbors again?
Well, what were you?
Municipal cooperation.
And I'm having
fun. Here we go. Here we go.
Right on.
So yeah, you are actually. But in our, like, there's a grand scheme here, right? So I talked about this a little bit at a meeting yesterday. So we're foreseeing that we're going to be challenging the city in the next 3 years, right? And we're going to do a little bit of fireworks competition, right?
Well, the city has bought some new technology, right?
That's
These things can be operated by electronics and by apps, electronic ignition.
Yeah.
And they're even, what I'm hearing, that they're stepping it up. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, some people might have seen some fireworks going off there at the energy. They're testing the infrastructure. There's going to be now some surprise music.
There's no doubt we got some catching up to do, our goal is to kick some hiney. That's all I'm going to say. So
good for you guys. Well, we accept that challenge.
Right on.
And we look forward to your vote increasing the fireworks budget. No, it's all good. I mean, you know, like I remember back in the ski hill, the volunteers that you have over there, it's incredible. Your team of people behind the scenes and people giving up their time. I mean, that's a big part of your operation.
Yeah, you know, our team out there is special as it is, right? Regardless if you're on the payroll or if you're a volunteer, like they, you know, these young people and so on are very, very committed to the end product and that people really enjoy themselves out there. But it's like you say, though, it's even more special when you have somebody that commits their time. They don't want any pay out of it or anything like that. They really enjoy watching the kids and especially in the two park, right?
You know, the two parks have been amazing.
Right. The two park is where everybody wants to volunteer because it's such a positive experience. The kids are coming down and there's giggling and you know, and it's such a positive place and it's for volunteers, it's really rewarding. And for us to have people, that volunteer for us is also rewarding, right? And, that type of commitment and the amount of energy they bring to the place is fantastic.
Well, you know, the lake is such an amazing body of water, but having the ski hill over kind of situated in French Bay and unique part of the bay over there, the idea of the docks, if they put docks out there, a person can boat over to the resort. Now, is the idea that then you would maybe possibly people could buy lunch or dinner over there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ultimate goal is to, right now there's not really a destination on this lake, right? And you go out, you come back, you know, you end up at Sandy Beach and so on, but there's not really a place, like you say, to have lunch or a Pepsi or even just moor your boat for the afternoon, do the walking trails, get into the adventure park. And the idea behind the facility is to make it diverse enough so that if you end up there with grandparents or with young kids, there's always going to be an experience there for you, right? And so that's really the goal. And then it's exactly that idea, is to create a destination. If it's just for lunch or for a few beverages, or if it's actually to take part in the activities, the goal being to make those activities as diverse as possible.
No, I think it's going to be fabulous. I mean, a really good shout out to the MD of Bonneville. They really enhanced that site. And everybody seems to be working together. I mean, the amount of tourists that we've seen this year coming from afar because of COVID.
The marina's been busy.
The marina's been packed. The park's been packed. The beach has been packed. The boat launches are crazy. But it just seems like a lot of people come to Cold Lake. And I think it's, I know our staff have done a lot of marketing at various trade shows, whether it's the Edmonton Boat Show, the Fort McMurray Show and that. And even we had those billboards and
the billboards. Anytime that you're at the Edmonton International Airport and all those areas, all across Edmonton. Yeah,
it takes a while, but I think we're seeing the benefit. Yeah. And talking to some people in the fishing business, fishing's been good this year, and they're getting a lot of charters. People are coming in chartering the guide. So, Cold Lake is a unique experience because you have the opportunity to catch a really big lake trout so close to Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's even further to that. You got another asset that you got just built that is generating more people coming from Edmonton, Lloydminster, and that's the mountain bike park too.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the outdoor activities, eh, Jürgen?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The mountain bike park speaks exactly to my clientele out at the ski hill, as does the skateboard park and so on. So, we were a young community and young families, kids, and it seemed like yesterday that our kids were growing up, and that's all they wanted to do. They were out on their mountain bikes. They wanted to be out on the lake. They were snowboarding in the winter. And again, I mean, we're just speaking about the diversity of the ski hill, but the diversity of this, or the way this region is developing, and all the different things that we're offering, the mountain bike trails are just one more piece to that. And everything I've heard, it doesn't matter who I've spoken to, loves that.
Just the other night, just the other night, talking to a few kids.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Craig, you asked a few kids out there what they thought of it. And
they love it. Yeah, they're challenging. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a very challenging park. I mean, my observation of the bike park will be from walking, but they're not going to get me on a bike.
But we used to, when we had a young family, we ended up driving to Sun Peaks. We ended up driving to Whistler. We ended to to take in these mountain bike parks, right? Like Kinnissu Ridge, it's not a mountain experience, but it gives you some of it, right? And there's really no need for locals to travel away.
Yeah, right. Because we put up a few $100,000 towards it. But you know what? The best thing about the bike park,
the MD of Bonneville contributed absolutely. As well, and it's turned out well.
Yeah. It was a grassroots where people came forward saying, and especially some young kids wanting to have a bike park in our community. I'm sure the ski hill way back in the day started out like that, and it's great to see the motocross track, same thing, where the residents kind of came forward to council, and it's great to see they hired Jay Hoots. It sounds like they're still designing it, and he's coming back here any day now.
We still haven't spent all of the budget, so as time allots and we have volunteers to help out and stuff like that, he comes in and gets a portion done. So that's kind of until we expend all the budget.
It's a beautiful piece of property, the land up by the museum with the elevations. It's really plain well.
Yeah, the wording was that, and if I understand, and I'm my ignorance in mountain bike parks too, leave it to the experts. But some of the complex areas are really complex and really challenging, and they've been working on more recently is the some of the easier ones, kind of the green runs, so to speak. But so that way the all users can use them. But we're hearing feedback because Lloydminster residents, we're hearing Edmonton residents coming up using these the new facility. So that's great, and that includes the marina. So you see, from a tourism perspective, it really helps drawing people coming up.
Tie in
well
with your adventure park.
Yeah,
absolutely, it ties in well in the sense that young community, we're an adventurous community with lots of different opportunities. One of the things at the ski hill, I've always said, it's a small hill, but the kids that left the ski hill and went ride in the mountains had no problems riding anything in the mountains, and they learned it here. And the bike park also offers that, right? It develops skills and so on that they're going to use when they leave, right? And the more we can do for young people and outdoor activity and so on, the better.
Yeah, no, that's all what it's all about. And I think our council doesn't matter. I think we've been. And you can see that with the MD of Bonneville Council. It's all about recreation is a vital thing, about keeping people wanting to live and keep your kids active.
You got a lot of asks on expanding that skateboard park.
Yeah, we were just checking that out. Unfortunately, it
got tagged.
It got tagged. It's got vandalized with the graffiti, and some of the writings are interesting. But whether or not the city paints over it or tries to blast it off, I mean, we'll have to evaluate all that. But it was sitting bare for so many years, and unfortunately, there seems to be in our community, I think it's happening all across Canada, a lot of graffiti just popped up this year.
Yeah, yeah. But it wouldn't take too much. You got a lot of kids that use that facility, and I think it's easily expandable. So
yeah.
I think budget's coming up. Council can consider throwing, allocating some dollars. I'm advocating
that. Are you elected, Mr. Nagoya?
No. You're going to have a group or that is coming forward too. Is this, the kids want to see the bike skills park too, right? Now that the mountain bike park itself done up there.
So it's skills bike park.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a different level.
Yeah, that's a different level. Yeah.
Teach us what that's all about.
Yeah, and so skills park, this is what you're doing right now is all downhill. Now, the skills parks I've seen are a little bit more flat land, right? Yeah. And they're driving over little bridges or riding over little bridges and teeter totters and all these different things, right? So it's a different animal altogether, right?
Same location? It'll be in the same location.
On that escarpment or embankment there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, it'll be that or a sewer pipe. So we'll have to look at that, right? I mean, when you're on council, it goes from the whole extreme from replacing a fire truck to a skate park to a hockey arena to swimming pools to a sewer pipe.
Yep.
Good stuff. Talking about the big announcement, we're big on recreation, this theme here for the last little while, is because a lot of our listeners have contacted us looking at, we've been listening to podcasts, and some of them are far from Edmonton and Grand Prairie. We hear we got quite a big following up in Grand Prairie, and so it...
You need to do a shout out.
Yeah, we're shouting out to Grand Prairie. I won't say who, but we do have a lot of houses available in Cold Lake to buy. So certainly there's lots of jobs up here. So and we feel that the economy is really, we've been really promoting the economy is on the verge of a big breakout here. And there was a big announcement by the federal government and Ellis Don, an Alberta company, has got the big contract to design the new office and establishment for the Four Wing Cold Lake. And so really exciting, almost just under $10 million design contract. And so we're expecting a lot of construction jobs by 2022 coming into Cold Lake, maybe as many as 500 people working on the base. And, talking to the wing commander, there's so much potential looking like on Four Wing Cold Lake and on the air weapons range that I think we're going to see a real bubbling of our population here. It's going to take some time, but the military, the aerospace could be the big driver force of our economy in the years to come.
Yeah. We've got, council has their aerospace initiative that's happening here. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to bounce off of.
Yeah.
You got the a desktop analysis that is, I understand, happening for the new upgrades of modernization for the air weapons range. You have the potential for drones. All of that is happening concurrently behind the scenes, and analysis are happening. So it's very positive.
Hopefully, the new fighter jet will be picked out in the next little while.
We understand that they're evaluating those tenders. So hopefully those announcements are made.
Pretty exciting for the men and women on the base to be flying a new product. That'd be cool. But Jürgen, you got to experience an open house there. We've been doing these encroachment open houses, and municipal reserve, environmental reserve. Of course, under COVID, we couldn't have a big community hall type of meeting, but we had RSP type of phone-in and book a spot. But what did you think of all of these open houses?
Well, the open houses that we've done overall, in my time in council have been, they've been fairly well attended, and the people are very respectful, right? So a lot of the issues that we've had to address over the last couple of years, they're pretty hot button issues, right? And encroachment in many cases is as well. And, what I really like to see is the administration's take on things is going, listen, we're not looking at a heavy-handed way of solving this thing. The solution needs to be driven by the public to a certain degree, right? And I'm not saying that, we're able to promise a solution that the public comes up with, but, we're going to take their thoughts on this first, and then we're going to see where we go. So at the end of the day, I think, with that messaging and people realizing, that we really want to work with them to come up with a positive solution. I think it ended up being a really, really good open house.
So these encroachment open houses were relating to scenarios where
residents adjacent to an area that's owned by the public body, the city. It could be a public utility lot. It could be a park. It could be a municipal reserve. It could be an environmental reserve. And residents may be either extending onto those areas, putting some sheds on there or building on them or some other means or parking things on them. So it's a question of how do we address that, those scenarios of a resident encroaching on those areas. Of course, the city has been, you know, approached a couple of times by residences on those concerns, right? And pressing upon the province for certain enforcement measures. So the city itself has various options that it can deal with encroachments. There's not just one solution because, you know, that's talked about is, you know, enforcement. Do you kick everybody off and do that? Or is there other options of that's more palatable for everybody? And that's what we are out there trying to ascertain and get feedback on, because the process is so much easier if you can have a little bit of buy-in from the residents. Understanding, I think really at the end of the day, during the open houses, the residents really bought into understanding that, yes, there is some issues. Agreed, but you know, how do we get closer to maybe complying to the legislation, and how do they come to the table? And I think that was overwhelming, very positive process, because those types of meetings, because it is kind of the my backyard issues, and it directly impacts some people, right? I think we came out in a great place with some opportunities. Council got to hear what the residents were saying. Administration will take that feedback and look and bring the council report to say, here's some options on being able to deal with. Here's the public's response that they'd like to see, and see if we can come up with a solution that's a hybrid.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, what you said there, the most important part of that is that they had the opportunity for feedback. And I know our administration will take all that feedback and take it seriously. And at the end of the day, I felt really good leaving there that we're going to eventually find something that's going to be, you know, it may not meet absolutely everybody's viewpoint on this, but I think for the community as a whole, I think we're going to come up with a good solution.
I think one of the things that we do well, I think in Coal Lake, is that we don't rush.
Right.
And I think some municipalities have rushed very fast through all these things. I mean, there's no stopwatch here. We know the province, wants us to work with a solution here, and you know, we'll get there. You know, we've committed to the ones that we spoke to at the open houses that we'll have this solution before the next municipal election, where council makes a decision. But it may take time for all the legalities, depending on what happens. You know, it might be years before a decision can happen in terms of people's encroachments or, you know, property. So it's exciting. That'll be a work in progress this winter, but
well, what was what I took as exciting is that the residents weren't, you know, they were. You can tell people are stressed, right? And you can appreciate that, right? But I think everybody was out there looking for that solution of
how. I think last night was a great example. Yeah. People came in very stressed, and then I think great conversation was happening across the in regards to several people owning property in the same location, coming up, working together for a possible suggestion with you guys.
And solutions being proposed to the city, and solutions that are very balanced, frankly.
It was really cool to watch. Yeah. And I mean, we had a small group last night, so it was pretty easy to just focus on a certain area because they were all from that area. It was really wild. The one gentleman whose property was just strictly out the back door was all ER, Environmental Reserve. It was like, wow. And yet all the neighbors around him, both on both sides, were all the MR, and his property is the only one that's an ER. It's like wild stuff.
So, Environmental Reserve versus Municipal Reserve. Yeah, and Environmental Reserves for all the listeners are a little bit more stringent than a Municipal Reserve, because usually it has a sign of some kind of report that's a tag to some kind of environmental sensitivity, and that's
yeah.
And
we'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
Left in its natural state, and
So, you know, we're going to have another one here shortly next week in regards to the golf course. I think it's on the 2nd or 3rd of September. And, you know, the city, Coal Lake, was approached many years ago by the wing commander to take over the golf course that's located on Four Winkle Lake, and it also has an amazing facility for a curling club. And so it's a beautiful building. And so the city took over the operations of on the operations side, not necessarily the utility costs of the curling club, but certainly we've been operating that site, and the city staff have done an amazing job on bringing that course back, you know, to caliber that we're seeing this year. Golfers coming, and I think COVID's kind of a lot of people are recreating, but we're seeing a lot of golfers coming from out of town, and the staff deserve a big shout out to that.
Yeah, I think it's very positive. I think this open house, you know, the issue comes down to, I think it's, and it's starting to get out there. There's some, you know, the public is starting to learn and understand that there is a payment in lieu of taxes. We call it PILT problem, or dispute that's happening between the Public Services and Procurement Canada out of Ottawa, and paying taxes to the city of Cold Lake. And it's really becoming an issue as it, because it starts to directly relate to the operations of the Golf and Winter Club. So, you know, what the intent of the public open house is to bring those timelines and those issues forward, just so that way everybody understands what has occurred over the last couple of years, and the numbers, and what is the details of that dispute, because you got a lot of memberships that are concerned about it, and what's going to happen, and what are the steps forward.
So yeah, the golf course. I had a resident approach me the other day, and he says, okay, and he described this meeting. This is, again, an open house, right? It's going to be respectful and everything that it is. But the way he was describing it, you know, you had visions of pitchforks and everything else, right? And so, and you know, and he was saying,
golf clubs, exactly.
Why pitchforks, right?
They may hurt more.
And so and he says, you know, I heard some counselors want to close down the golf course. And I'm like, yeah, I'm one of those counselors. But what people have to realize is that, you know, when I kind of explained myself to him, and I'm only speaking for myself now, not for an entire council, but for myself, I said, there, every facility, any recreation facility, I love them all, right? And I'm all about recreation. And I think, as is the entire council, we do recognize it's a beautiful facility. The administration, the staff have done a wonderful job with
this
place.
It's really in good condition, yeah.
Right? And for me, now, it's not about should we be running a golf course or not or anything like that, right? Because that thing is a jewel, just like the facility that I run, right? But it's very much down to dollars, right? And the city's under pressure. With PILT, right? We're missing that part of the budget, and I think it's accumulated to like $22 million.
Yeah,
right,
$22 million.
That's not just a little bit of money, and we've lost a lot of money with ID 349. We still haven't really seen any resolution around that. We don't know where we're going to end up, so our finances are tighter, and so now we have to start looking again. We got to turn over rocks. We got to look, right? And for me, that, you know, the golf course is one of those areas that I'd like to look at. Now, I don't. You know, this isn't about, you know, throwing all these people off of the golf course or anything like that, right? It's just one another financial decision, really, that we have to make.
Yeah, that's what every item for council is always in front of you as for a budget.
That's right.
Whether or not you want to remove it from the city operations, but
you know, but in terms of respectfully in that process for the listeners is that it is little. Complex.
That's right.
Because they're and talking the way we are on this podcast, there is a significant legal dispute that is occurring between the Government of Canada and the City of Cold Lake, and this PILT issue is being like probably one of the largest PILT disputes in Canada, and so it is a frustration. And there's certain information that, you know, we have to be careful with releasing to listeners because of the litigation that is going on right now. So at the open house, we're going to try to synthesize and put together a presentation that tries to give as much information so that way people can understand the issue,
yep.
and that this is not something simple, and it's not just a couple of cents. It is, we're talking significant dollars and significant issues with regard to the legalities of it.
Right. And so it's so important in this case to be respectful of all the stakeholders in this, right? We do recognize the huge impact that the base has. We just talked about some of the development and so on, right? And so we need to respect that, as well as, I mean, our taxpayer. I mean, they don't have the option of saying, sorry, we're just not going to pay that portion of taxes, right? And so there's a lot of elements to this. And so speaking about the golf course, we got to recognize this is, again, one of those very complex things, right?
Yeah, and you hit a good point there, Jürgen, on the issue of this issue's not being led by the local Canadian Forces Base, right, Cold Lake. It's unfortunately being led by a group in Ottawa and Edmonton, and not even within the jurisdiction of the local wing commander here. So, you know, it's unfortunate, and the city has done a good job, and I think you guys would both agree that we've got a great relationship with the base.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But we have other influencing forces that kind of get intertwined in these operations, which makes it challenging, right?
Sure.
And they step in and make a decision, and then, you know, things go sideways. And how do we, and I think we've done a good job maintaining that relationship with
them. Yeah, I think Ottawa needs to step back and not try to fit PILT into a little budget item. And, you know, I think they got to come into these communities, whether it's here or Gagetown, wherever, across Canada. And there's, you know, these facilities that are on the wing are here for a purpose, and that is for recreation of the men and women with the wing, but also a part of the community. And so it's different across Canada. Some wings don't have the type of recreation facilities that Four Wing does, but this is Canada's largest fighter base. And I think, you know, when you look at the housing on the base and the rent they charge, the post-living differential for our members in Cold Lake, you know, we've been saying this for years, and yes, the rent has gone down a little bit, but, you know, I think Ottawa needs to take a real hard look at the Cold Lake base, because it's the jewel. And I know we appreciate they're putting money into the infrastructure finally, but when it comes to quality of life, being involved with that golf course, so that was all about quality of life when it first got built, and keeping members here, and the city's taken it over. And to have it being penalized under the PILT nonsense, it's unfortunate. And what happens is it causes a rift. You know, Cold Lake and the wing community are together. And it's unfortunate that Ottawa has made a tragic mistake here in messing up the waters. And I think it's time that they step up and paid their fair share of property tax like every other citizen in Cold Lake, because Jürgen hit it on the nail. We and residents don't have that luxury of saying, you know what, I'm only going to pay 60% of my taxes. So hopefully that one gets fixed. We'll have a good community open house with the residents, and maybe some people, just like the MR meetings we had, you know, people might have some great suggestions from the community. But I think there's going to be a lot of passion, because the golfing community will tell you that there's not enough courses in Cold Lake for just one. And so, and then of course the curling club is beautiful over there, and it's a great facility. And I think the wing commanders the various wing commanders over the years, as I've been mayor, have done a great job being involved in the community. So let's hope we get some resolution to that.
Well,
Mr. Nagoya.
So. Well, it's been going since 2012, 2013. This is a long-standing debate, a legal battle. So hey, how about those new docks on the beach?
Yeah, so
completely switch gears.
So we're not like we can't have video during a podcast, but the city staff purchased a bunch of gray puzzles pieces that you put together, and it's almost like a floating tee out there, and it goes out in the lake. I actually walked it the other day with the dog, and I thought, wow, this is not bad. And so this morning I saw somebody out there fishing with a lawn chair. So,
right on.
You know, it's been a big hit. The kids are swimming, and it's just been a big hit, and good for you guys for trying it out. It's going to be fascinating to watch a nice October storm from the north. But
well, that's the reason why we bought it, right? The issue comes down to is we've been purchasing a few of those docks. Remember, we purchased some outside of the marina there by the fuel docks, and they just got destroyed from the wind when it came in a certain direction. Trying to find the right solution, right?
Yeah, wood doesn't bend.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. And aluminum doesn't bend either, although it will bend, but then it permanently stays that way, but gets all mangled up. But the idea here is that we're just testing these things out. You know, the feedback on social media has been just right
positive. Everybody's all excited about this.
Negative Charlies, but
that's okay. Well, a few of them. That's okay. You get that. But you know, the idea here is we're just testing this out to see if it can handle the weather in Cold Lake. Because when you know, our communications and marketing group attends the Edmonton Boat Show every year. Of course, this was only got canceled because of the COVID. But this company was when we attended, the was showing these videos that they're, you know, I think they're down in Mexico or wherever, and they're like in hurricane conditions and they're just, they're holding up. It was like, wow, I wonder if this would work in Cold Lake. And that's what their idea is coming from. And it's the intent here is just to test it out to see how, you know, rugged. I think we only even have two of the four pillars in, just to see how they're going to hold up. And the next step, if this is successful, we can put these like on each side of the beach. We can you know, over by Hospital Point on Lakeshore Drive to make areas where people can jump into the water there, or canoe for their kayaks, launch their kayaks is what I would mean, and fish from there. And then outside of the marina you know, there's a, you know, couple float planes in the area that would like to be able to pull up to the marina. And, you know, there's some real unique opportunities to, if this is going to work.
So what's cool about this is that, you know, through this podcast, we can hear how excited our administration and staff get, you know, how excited they get about projects and everything else, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're almost talking like a counselor, Kevin.
No. But apolitical.
But at the same time, now talking about those docks, it was nice to see. It was a bit of a wave, and the kids are in there. It was up and down. It was kind of, right? The things are packed. Now, it kind of reminded me a little bit about like Christmas morning, right? So you've got this, like in this city here, we build these beautiful things, right? Like, and the spray park and the bike, you know, trails and everything, they're fairly complicated. And the kid ends up playing with the box that the present came in, right? Like it's a real simple, it's just a very simple thing, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes those simple things are the best, you know, the best part of the summer, let's say. For these kids, when I was watching, it was like a Rockwellian sort of a painting, you know?
They always wanted to be able to get on a raft and be out in the water. So this is a great opportunity to dive in the water and no diving.
Well, okay. And that's a really good point, right? Because it's not really that deep there, right?
Use your own risk. But eventually, what we want to look at is just making them longer, right? There's no use spending a whole bunch of money on this without knowing that it's going to work well, right? And we can never do things like this without the blessing of council being able to allocate administration some budget to be able to
do fireworks.
Try things
out,
right?
About
as one of the snowboard kids out at the ski hill says, I'd consider this a win. So this one, it worked out well, right? So good job. So
no, it's a, you know, we'll wrap up this podcast, but any other kind of thoughts that you're going to, before we close off on your first podcast?
You know what? I was really nervous coming in here because there's no preparation. You walk in and there's a bunch of stuff on a whiteboard. Now you got to talk, you got to go.
Oh,
nobody knows this? Oh, okay.
Love it. Now it's
been released. No, we don't.
This is your
script,
first and last podcast, Jürgen.
No. It's all good. We wing it.
The idea is that there's no script, right? And it is trying to be as much casually as we can, and being able to just talk about things that are happening in the community. And it comes with advantages and disadvantages, of course, because it's just on the top of mind of whatever is there. For the listeners, we do have a whiteboard that may have some topics behind us.
We might have one, right?
Of course, also what we do is, you know, if there's any questions from social media or emails that come in, they get put up there just so that way through our conversations that we can address some of the maybe a hot topic of the community that they're questioning or something like that. Just so that way through our conversations as we move through the topics.
You know, I really enjoy this. We don't spend enough time sitting around a campfire drinking Pepsi. So this is just, you know.
Absolutely.
We got great shout outs for Pepsi here today.
A soda.
A soda.
But no, it's fun having you. We're going to try to bring all the counselors in that haven't before the Christmas for sure. But a lot of fun, a lot of good topics. And, you know, our theme today was all about recreation, I think. I think, you know, Jürgen's background is recreation. He's very focused. One of the, you know, when you look at our community, him and his wife, Valerie, are one of the leaders in our community for recreation for sure. And so it's great to talking about recreation because we know some of our listeners are thinking about moving to Cold Lake. And,
yes.
And I know that they really want to recreate, but
keep looking at the MLS. There's some great opportunities.
We know that there's a couple of listeners out there that are thinking about leaving their community, looking at the real estate.
So
we're all having fun, and hopefully, we just want a good shout out to all the kids going back to school, and hopefully everybody is safe. And
all right,
ciao.
Okay.
All righty, what is it, 45?
Oh, 54. Ooh, got out an hour.